This is KCUR 89.3. Harvest Public Media is exploring the potential changes in the next farm bill, which funds a wide range of programs. A major one is crop insurance, and Amy Mayer explains how it is and isn't like your car insurance.
Crop insurance protects a laundry list of farm products.
From corn to clams. Macadamia nuts.
Chad Hart is an ag economist at Iowa State University.
All sorts of things are covered by crop insurance.
There's a long history of federal programs to help farmers, but since the current farm bill became law in 2014, crop insurance has widely been seen as the primary federal safety net. Some farmers say it keeps them in business. Farmers like Corey Goodhue.
The financial risk that we take is enough to bankrupt us. Even with the equity we have, if you go that far negative cash flow, our business wouldn't sustain that without a safety net.
Goodhue says insurance on his corn and soybeans near Carlisle, Iowa, frees him up to lock in the best possible price in advance. Because if his harvest then doesn't go well, crop insurance lessens the blow. With birds chirping behind him, Goodhue says he's heard people say they think farmers are counting on annual payouts from insurance. That's not how he operates.
That doesn't make any sense to me as I walk through it. You know, it's a mechanism that protects us from losing our business. You know, it's not something that we're trying to make money doing.
He compares it to car insurance. After an accident, drivers file claims for their wrecked cars.
I think most people would say if they get a car insurance payout, they're almost never whole when it's done. Like, they're always better off to have not had the wreck.
It's a comparison that's also useful for understanding what's different with crops. If a bunch of people all have car insurance, the chances are pretty good that when one driver has an accident and files a claim, most of the others will not. The insurance company has no problem paying. But with crops, it's more likely many farmers will need a payment at the same time because of a flood or drought. Enter the federal government. It subsidizes crop insurance to make it appealing and affordable to both private companies and farmers. Goodhue says he pays about half his premium and the government picks up the rest, which is about average.
When you look at the risk versus the benefit, it pencils. If you took that subsidy away, I think we would not buy crop insurance.
Currently, no matter how big the premium, the government will split it. There's no limit. Some advocacy groups hoped the new farm bill would impose a $50,000 cap, but that doesn't seem likely. The House bill does very little to change the program. The insurance companies also get subsidies to help weather the years when tons of farmers have claims, like in 2012 when there was a major drought. At $13.4 billion, that year was the government's most expensive for crop insurance. By 2016, the tab had dropped to $4.2 billion, the second lowest in a decade. Aaron Herbold Swalwell, an agricultural lawyer in West Des Moines, Iowa, says the farm bill makes rules around crop insurance, and if farmers don't follow them, they can lose their ability to get it.
We just don't know what's going to happen, but the best policy is to operate under the system that we have now and really do pay attention to those compliance issues.
Have you seen situations where crop insurance is what has kept a farm in business?
Oh, most definitely. I think if you didn't have crop insurance in this environment, you know, one bad event could be very, very devastating.
That brings up one last thing. Part of the justification for government subsidies is that crop insurance protects taxpayers, so they aren't footing the entire bill to help farmers after a disaster. Amy Mayer, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media, based here at KCUR, reports on farm and food issues in collaboration with public media stations across the Midwest. For more information, you can go to harvestpublicmedia.org.